This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is the evening edition with Lynn and Kelvin. And the big headline of the day, and one that we really wanted to talk about, Putrajaya today said that Malaysia will not be ratifying ICERD. That is, of course, the International Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination. And this is, of course, something that has been going on now for what feels like years.
So, in a statement released by the Prime Minister's Department, it said that the government will continue to defend the federal constitution, which contains the social contract agreed upon by all races during the formation of this nation. I guess then this more or less puts an end to the rather vigorous debates that's been happening about the convention over the past few weeks. Strong arguments on all sides. And I guess what can be observed is that objections largely came from Malay groups and political parties over the proposed ratification of the convention, over fears that it would erode Malay privileges and Bumiputra rights, as well as destroy the royal institution and weaken the sanctity of Islam.
And that is coming through also in the statement that came from the PMO, isn't it? This notion of we're going to defend the federal constitution. I just think the language kind of harks back very directly to the kinds of criticisms that have been coming their way. So it just seems like a direct response.
And it does seem to mirror what both Mukriz Mahathir and Syed Saddiq have said earlier about defending the constitution and the fact that we don't actually need it.
Even as our Prime Minister continued to say that it would be ratified. So that happened. Anyway, the discussion also led to debates, provocations, even threats of violence. Just today, a small protest was held in Kota Kinabalu. About 150 people gathered after Friday prayers at the state mosque, falling short of the expected 700. And also there was going to be that apparent giant December 8th anti-ICERD protest hosted by PAS and UMNO. So they're going to change it from protest to celebration.
So at this moment, Malaysia remains one of 14 countries that have not ratified the ICERD.
We're in great company.
Yes, we joined the ranks of North Korea, Vanuatu, Myanmar, who we are vehemently against when they oppress the Rohingya community. And, you know, countries that have ratified the ICERD include Saudi Arabia, Iran, Turkey and Indonesia. It's important also to say that 55 of the 57 Organization of Islamic Cooperation, that's the OIC, those countries have ratified the ICERD. That includes Palestine.
So I guess the overall thing is we were all pretty disappointed when we heard this. I mean, we've been covering the ICERD quite often. We've been talking about it quite a lot, and the reaction has often been pretty heated. We've opened up the phone lines, we've heard from a lot of people, and one of the things that came through the last time we spoke about the ICERD actually were two separate messages, and they each said, well, we haven't heard a coherent argument for why we need the ICERD. And at the time, I was a bit taken aback by that, simply because I didn't realize we needed to justify the elimination of racial discrimination. I think we lose something, actually, by calling it the ICERD, because when you do that, it takes away the power of the name. It is supposed to be the Convention on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination, and that is all forms of racial discrimination. I don't think, in a sane society, we would need to have an argument as to why that's a good thing. So that surprised me. But apparently, I think that appears to be the sentiment that's come through today.
But it's also who then took control of the narrative about the ICERD, right? There wasn't a coherent and consistent messaging from the government. Top Pakatan Harapan leaders, like I mentioned, Syed Saddiq just now, also came out against it. But you had other ministers like Saifuddin Abdullah and perhaps even Mujahid Yusof Rawa coming out to say, nope, the ICERD is actually a good thing. But I guess then on the other side, with the opposition parties, they managed to somehow overtake that conversation because of the nature of ICERD and because of its foreignness, right? It's difficult to understand. It's difficult to comprehend. And because of that, it was easily made into a bogeyman.
Yeah, I agree. I think that we saw that come through very, very strongly. And it just disheartens me to see the same sort of language being used. I mean, Syed Saddiq specifically said, is it wrong to want to defend the constitution? And now we're saying, well, yes, we plan to defend the federal constitution. So there are all these hints, I suppose, that have been coming out over the past month or so. And it's come to fruition by saying, no, we're joining Myanmar. We're not going to ratify the ICERD.
And North Korea.
I think it's a step back. I really do. I mean, I'm glad that we've had the opportunity and the impetus to have this conversation. But I think that at the very least, look, I mean, in the midst of all this confusing messaging, there were some statements that said, look, ratifying the ICED isn't going to change all that much. We still get to pick and choose what we're going to take. It's not as if it has to be accepted wholesale. And I think that if you're going to say that ratifying it would not have made much of a difference one way or the next, then at least signing on to it would have signified something more than not. The act of not doing it signifies just... It makes me angry, actually. And I don't like what it says about the country I live in.
And also, where do we want to stand in terms of, you know, Malaysia being part of the international community? Do we want to continue to be village champions, or do we want to be on an equal level with countries like the United States, with China, with Sweden, or whatever, right? And I think you're right. Just not signing it says a lot more than if we did sign it.
So Amar says the new government should get a grip. Seriously, you control the media. Have a game plan. Any policy you want to do, explain it better, do it better. And I could not agree more with that. I also think, you know, just let us know what you think. We would love to hear from you. I think we've said our piece. We're pretty disappointed. Let us know if you agree. I mean, are you disappointed that the ICED is not going to be ratified? Or do you think that there wasn't ever, you know, a coherent enough argument for or against it? You can let us know. 7733 2900 is the number to call. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, we have on the line Suhakam Commissioner Gerald Joseph to share his thoughts. Gerald, thank you so much for joining us again. What was your reaction when you first heard the news from the Prime Minister's office?
Utterly disappointed that the government has decided to not even consider to work at it, to help the nation move forward. It has decided so quickly to say no to ratification of ICED. And I think this is a missed opportunity for the government to actually help people understand why is there a global system in the world that wants everybody to have a similar standard of operations, especially in human rights?
And what message do you think this sends to the people, given that it's coming after all the commotion around the ICED?
So I think first thing is, I don't think people who are reacting have read or understood ICED. There are a few people who keep repeating the same message that ICED is dangerous, ICED is bad, it will take away what is in Malaysia. So I think, first of all, that's a process that human rights education is the responsibility of the government. So government should have taken on a bit more time to explain, to help people understand and to allay fears, and not allow some groups, including PAS and AMNO, to jump on the wagon and say this is going to take away what Malaysia's fabric of its political structure, which is all unfounded. How have they proven that? They have not. They just keep saying that the Malay, the majority, Bumiputra rights will be lost. And so many groups have actually come out, including Suhakam, to say that none of the positions in the constitution, neither the practices are contrary and will need to be amended in order for ICED ratification to happen. So I think the message that goes out is that why have we reacted? Why has the government reacted so quickly instead of being steadfast and telling people, calm down, let's continue to talk, let's continue to discuss what is your basis for saying that Islam will lose out? Because I think 52 countries of OIC have ratified this. Have they lost their Islamic identity? No, they have not. They are still as Islamic as ever. And the position of the religion in the countries is still strong and sacred. So it's unjustified comments that grows in Malaysia. And then you have so many what I call right-wing thinking groups that come up and then either threaten to protest or keep telling the Malays we have to rise up to defend this. But where in this whole convention, does it ever say that people are going to lose out? If ever this convention is calling for people to come up to have more if they felt they are left behind. So I think the sad reality is that the takeaway is that if people react on race and religion, will this government buckle and move back? If Malaysians who are protesting say we don't want ISIS, are we finally publicly admitting we are a racist nation? We are a nation that believes in discrimination and we celebrate discrimination. We have different standards. So it's a contradiction of sorts, because in one sense they said, why is there a need to ratify ISIS? Because we are a harmonious nation. I would say because we are a harmonious nation, we should be proud members of ISIS ratification.
So do we have a real problem with a sort of zero-sum mentality that makes people think that if we move towards equality, some will inevitably lose out?
I think the siege mentality is a sickness in Malaysia that needs to be taken away. A mature democracy, a mature society doesn't live and thrive on fear. It doesn't sell fear to communities. We should celebrate the strength of communities. People should never think they will lose. They should think they will gain more. Equality is a benchmark for gaining more, not for losing. And the provisions of all Article 153 and the Bumiputra policy, which is actually a temporary measure. It was a 20-year program in 1971. It is not a constitutional provision, Bumiputra policy. Article 153 is a special position. Bumiputra is a later reformulation through policy of a government in 71. And it was meant to be temporary because it's 20 years plus 10 plus 10. So in that sense, nothing is wrong, because when you need it, you use it. And when the society has grown and we are okay, then that policy will expire. The NEP is supposed to have expired. So why the fear? We should be celebrating that many in our society has moved up, have become architects, have become leaders, have become global leaders. And this is to celebrate. So why keep the nation shackled in fear, and why keep the nation still under siege? And why are some groups perpetuating and inciting this kind of fear or inciting this kind of very insular-looking modality? So I think this is something that this government will need to handle if it's serious about its manifesto promises that it made in a lofty document called the Pakatan Manifesto. It did promise it will move away from the racial and racist UMNO politics that was what it sold itself when it was pre-GE14 in its India Pakatan Manifesto, that it will move to something that celebrates all races, celebrates unity, diversity, and yet having a special place for the Malays and the Bumiputras of Malaysia and Sabah, Sarawak.
What are we really losing when we decide that we're not going to ratify the ICERD?
What we really lose is we are actually making a statement on the inverse, that we are tacitly admitting we support and believe in discrimination. We are saying that that's okay to have, because we don't dare ever say that our nation is a nation that is premised on non-discrimination. So what we lose is international credibility. We even lose integrity in Malaysia, because this government has made promises both in Malaysia. And Tun Mahathir spoke at the United Nations General Assembly a few months ago and said the government is promised and will ratify all remaining treaties. And a few weeks ago, it was reaffirmed at the United Nations Human Rights Council. So now people will be asking why the U-turn, why the fear. You know? I mean, there's no justification, because the majority of the Muslim countries in the world have ratified it. There's no problem. Nobody loses out anything. So why are we so fearful and not going in the direction? So we don't lose anything, but we lose international credibility and we lose integrity as a nation that a new government has promised to bring to put Malaysia back on the international world map on a high footing in terms of good governance and human rights.
So what do you want to see next from the government?
Well, I suppose this government has to decide if they're going to pander to the protests. This protest reminded me of the old Barisan National Government who used to, you know, groups will come out and say, don't you dare, don't do this, this will take away Malay. I thought we have moved away from that old politics. That's why we have a new government, a new Malaysia. So this government has to have the courage and have to handle this kind of groups, and they should not allow incitement to violence, incitement to hate to grow in Malaysia. I mean, critical dissent is not a problem, but incitement to hate, incitement to violence should be a no-no in our country. So the test of this new government is that, is this a sign that you're going to regress back on the promises you've made because the nation is watching? Do you want to pander to groups that will always use race and religion? Aren't we going to rewrite a new narrative for Malaysia? That is what Malaysia Baru is. And if many of the politicians and the leaders don't understand non-discrimination and equality, maybe it's time they should learn, because many of them come from the old mold. So I think keeping yourself either in ignorance or fear, it will reflect badly on the new members of parliament and the government. So it's time, I think, to for them to have a hard look at themselves after 6 months. This cannot be the fashion of how the next 4.5 years.
Gerald, thank you so much for joining us. That was Suhakam Commissioner Gerald Joseph. We're going to be continuing our conversation on the ICERT, or rather the non-ratification of the ICERT, after this with the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Datuk Saifuddin Abdullah. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
This is the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. We're closing off today by talking about the ICERT, or rather the fact that we're not ratifying it. Earlier we heard from Suhakam Commissioner Gerald Joseph. Joining us on the line now, we have the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Datuk Saifuddin Abdullah. Saifuddin, thank you for joining us again on the programme. What is your reaction to this revelation by the Prime Minister's office?
Well, it was a unanimous cabinet decision. I was there when the decision was made. We had a good discussion on the topic, and the thing is, we understand that there are a lot of misconfusion, misinterpretation of the whole thing, but we do not want to prolong the situation, and hence we decided not to rectify ICERT.
What were the considerations that went into the decision?
You see, there are a lot of misinterpretation, and unfortunately, there are people who purposely share the misinterpretation, and to a certain extent, some people may be inciting people to oppose ICERT with unrelated and irrelevant argumentation. I'll give you one example. That if we rectify ICERT, we have to amend Article 153 of the Constitution. In actual fact, we do not have to. And I have been saying, and a few other ministers have been saying, that we don't have to amend Article 153 and we can still ratify ICERT. The other thing is, there are people who go around and tell people that, oh, the moment we ratify ICERT, MARA will be closed, the boarding school will be closed, all Malay rights will no longer be there. We try to explain to people there's no such thing. The Article 153, Article 3, the whole body of the Constitution will remain intact. But I think the cabinet decided to use its wisdom by saying, okay, we don't ratify. Yeah.
So the last time we spoke with you, you mentioned the need to engage the public on the matter to raise awareness. Earlier, Suhakam Commissioner Gerald Joseph also said the same thing, and that perhaps the government may have given in a bit too soon. What are your thoughts?
No, I think the situation is slightly is quite serious, because there have been discussion. In fact, on the 27th, there's supposed to be another discussion hosted by Jakim and Suhakam. It is a general topic on human rights and Islam, but I'm sure ICERT will also be on the table. The problem is, there are people who just don't want to discuss, but they want to oppose ISED. And no matter what we do, no matter how we try to explain, they refuse to listen, to the extent that I thought some people become allergic to ISED. And it's very difficult to argue when there are people who simply just don't want to listen. Like, for example, I give you this real experience of telling people, no, we are not going to do that. We're not going to, you know, and they just simply say, no, this is what you're going to do. So how do you argue? You can't argue because people just don't want to listen.
So did you expect for the ISED discussion to blow up to such proportions, people calling for protests and so on?
Well, I wouldn't say I've expected it, but I think from day one, all of us keep on saying that we are committed to rectify all, but ISED has never been, you know, like this is going to be the first one. No, in fact, I'm a little surprised that why are people thinking that we want to rush ISED? We have never said that ISED is going to be the number one that we want to ratify. We have always said we will go for the low-hanging fruits. We will look at the Convention Against Torture. We will look at the Convention on Forced Disappearance first. ISED is always on the table, but we never said that ISED is going to be the first one that we want to ratify.
Is this decision final?
I think the decision of the cabinet is final.
And what will be the next steps then for the ministry after this decision?
No, we will. I mean, we still have to come up with the UPR report. So, to me, we continue with our work. It's like, you know, there are 10 things on the table. One is not on the table anymore. There are 9 things that we need to do. And who knows, there may be 2 new things next year that we have to do.
Thank you for joining us. That was Minister of Foreign Affairs, Datuk Saifuddin Abdullah. We also reached out to Senator P.Y. Themurthy, also the Minister in charge of Unity, but he declined to comment and said that he will stick with the statement from the Prime Minister's office. We have to head to news as well as to football. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.